Good morning, good night of Shabbos, everyone. Have a wonderful day. With Hashem's help, we begin the new tractate, the Bava Metzia, the middle gate. The middle gate. We dedicate this task to our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. The families, the Nishmas, the Nachman, the Moshe. For Shlaim and Petal Basmir. Dog the Hale Commissioner, Shnayim, Mezim, the Talis, two people come to the court. They're both holding on to the Talis, to a garment. This one says, I found it, it belongs to me. This one says, Anima Tazi. This one says, Kula Shali, it's all mine. Zayma Kula Shali. So, we don't know. They're both holding. Usually we have a principal. Whoever's holding it, it's his. Here, they're both holding it. Not necessarily that they're both lying. Maybe they both picked it up together, and each one thinks that he picked it up first. So therefore, he got it a second earlier. So it's his, and this one thinks his. So what do we do? So the rabbis say. So really, you have to divide it. But the rabbis said the rabbis made an enactment. They should only they have to swear. He can't make him swear that he has a half. He claims the whole thing belongs to him. But he's going to swear, I don't have less than half. At least a half. That's mine, for sure. This one should swear. So a person won't swear falsely. Even a person who's a thief won't swear falsely. He's afraid to hold a Torah and to swear falsely, stand in court, stand in front of Hashem and swear falsely. So if he just came and grabbed someone else's cloak or garment, he won't swear. He'll say, you know what? I'm telling the truth, but I don't want to swear. I'm afraid to swear. So each one swears that at least the half belongs to him, then we divide it. It doesn't mean that you're going to cut the suit in half. You cut the suit in half, it's useless. It means you're going to sell it. Yeah, exactly. Cut the baby in half, cut the suit in half. So what you do is you sell it, and then the money, you divide the money. You take 50%, you take 50%. What if this one says the whole garment is mine? As one says, no, he admits. I admit that the whole garment is not mine. But we're partners. We both lifted it up at the same time. We found it at the same time. So half of it is mine, half of it is yours. So what are they arguing over the half? Both agree that one half belongs to one. The whole argument is on the other half. This one says the entire thing is mine, and the other one says, no, this half is mine. So you split that 50%. So he gets three, so you divide that half. So the one who says it's all mine gets three quarters, and the one who says half of mine gets half of that, which is a quarter. So this one swears that he doesn't have less than three quarters. The one who says half of mine, Yeshava swears, he doesn't have less than a quarter. This one gets three quarters, this one gets a quarter. What if Shnayim Reichim Al Gabe Behem, two of them are riding on the animal? One of them is riding, one of them is leading the animal. This one says, hey, it's my animal. I'm giving my friend the ride. He's sitting on the animal. It's not his, it's mine. I'm leading it. He's just getting a ride. And the other says, no, this one, it's my animal. I'm sitting on it. I'm riding on my animal. This one is doing me a favor. I paid him to lead me. So again, you have to divide it in half. Because they're both connected. This one is pulling it, is holding it, the reins. This one is sitting on it. So as far as we're concerned, they both have it. So I can't say this one is right, this one is wrong. So what we do is you split it in half. So this one swears he doesn't have less than half. They divide it. You sell the animal, you divide it 50. But when they admit, when they agree with each other, they both agree that they both lifted it up together, and they're both partners in it. They both own it. It says, come to court. They're not arguing. They say, hey, this belongs to us. Your mother will explain. Then what are you coming to teach me? Obviously, if there's no problem. Then who's the problem? What's the problem? There's no claimant. There's no defendant. You both. Who's bringing you to court? Why are you coming to court? What's the problem? But there's man shame made him when they both admit to each other. I have half and he has half, and we're both partners. And there's Oishishal and Aidim, or there are witnesses, who cares, never mind what they say. There are witnesses who say, we saw what happened, we saw they both picked it up together simultaneously, so it belongs to both of them together. Then you split it 50-50, you don't need to swear, there's no reason to swear. Okay, that's the mission. Why does the mission I have to say Zayma Kulu Shali? He brings two cases. One is this one says I found the garment. This one says I found the garment. And then another argument, Zayma, this one says Kulu Shali, I bought it. And the other one says Zayma Kulu Shali, I bought it. Why does he have to give me two examples? Just give me one example is enough. It's the principle that if they're both holding on to it. No, you know how they learn this in Gan Eden. You know how they learn the Mishnayos in Gan Eden. Gan Eden are no garments, and no one is fighting. What are they fighting over in Gan Eden? This belongs to me. This belongs to me. What they're fighting is that two Jews who were makadar of a Jew brought a Jew made up al truva. So this one says Kulish Ali, I get the merit. All the mitzvahs and all the tzedek, everything that he's doing, him and his children, his grandchildren, is because of me. Another one says, no, it was I inspired him. So that's what they're arguing about. That's the argument they're having in Gan Eden. So they get to share the merit. Okay, so you might ask, why does he have to give us two cases? Just give us one case. And the principle, if two are coming in front of the bezin, each one is holding on to it, I have no reason to believe this one over the other one, and maybe they're both right, none of them lying, maybe they're just mistaken. So the law is, you divide it. Why do I need two examples? Listen, Chadik. Sigmar answers Chadik Tani. Indeed, he does. It is one case. You thought you misunderstood. You thought he's talking about two different cases. It's one case. Zaymanim and Zasir. Because this one says, I found it. I was the first one to find it. And it's all mine. I found it, it's all mine.
Do I understand it or don't I understand?
And he's saying that's his argument. Because I found it, that's why. Since I'm the first one that found it, that's why it's all mine. It's one argument. So you might ask, listen, So you should have said that I found it. Then doesn't have to repeat it. He just says, Mitchell should have just said, and I know, we would know. What do you mean? If you found it, then of course it's all yours. If you're the first one that found it, it's yours. Why does he have to spell it out? Why does the Mishnah have to spell it out? He argues that I'm the one that found it, and therefore it's all mine. Just say, I found it, period. Okay, that's the argument. I found it. It's mine. You don't have to spell it out. It's mine. That's what you're saying. I found it. Therefore, automatically, it's yours. But no, Yadani, we would already know without him spelling it out that it's his. If he found it, then it's his. Yes. No. If you found it, it's yours. You own it. But no, Yadani, the Kulo Shali. So the Gemara says, "Iton ani mitzasiya." If he just said and he stopped there, I found it. I would think my mitzasiya. Mitzasiya means I was the first one to see it. Did you see it? I was the first one to spot it. Avagav liyosli liyadi. I never grabbed it with my hand. I was the first one to see it. You see, I pointed out. You see. So B'liyeh Al-Makani, he thinks that just since I'm the first one to find it, meaning I'm the first one to spot it, it's automatically mine. But he doesn't know, but then it wouldn't be correct. That's why he spells it out. No, Tanakula Shali, the B'riya Leikandi. He's saying it's mine. Not only I'm the first one that spotted it, I'm the first one that lifted it up. I acquired it.
Is there a visual opinion?
No. That's what he's saying. Not only Mitzasiya that I found it, that I'm the first one to find it, meaning I'm the first one to spot it. No, what he's arguing is, I lifted it up. I'm the first one to get it. I spotted it and I found it and I picked it up and it's mine. So that's what he says, Kula Shali, the B'riya Leikon. Seeing, spotting it, it doesn't acquire it. Knowledge, information, acquisition has to be something physical. Knowing something, even seeing something. But if you don't, if it doesn't, there's no motion, there's no action, you don't acquire anything. You acquire information in your head, it's only in your brain, but it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the status of the item. Knowing something, even seeing something, if you don't do something, if it doesn't prompt you, you have to lift it up, you have to get involved. That's why in Judaism, everything is the action. You have to get involved. If you tell your wife that you love her, but you don't give her a ring, you have nothing. You can save him today till tomorrow. It's the action that counts. What's his amnes? How could you answer me? How could you tell me that my mitzvah? They see if the Mishnah would just say that one claims that I find it, I found it. I would say what he means is he was the first one to spot it, to notice it. He's to see it. He can't say that. Rabbi Noi says it says on mitzvah. It says in the Torah. It says in the Torah that when you find something, anything that's lost that belongs to your brother, you have to return it. So Rabbi Noi says, you know what the mitzvah means? Asli yadi mash. That even though you picked it up in your hands, you already found the lost object and you picked it up, the Torah only obligates you to return it if it's your brother, if it's a Jew. To a non-Jew, you don't have to return it, because in their laws, it's finders keepers. If in their laws, it's finders keepers, so I don't have to go. If I find it, it belongs to me. But so even if you found it, meaning, even if you lifted it up, not that I see it. You can say, if you see it, if it's a Jew, if the owner is a Jew lost something, and a fellow Jew sees it, or it says, a Jew, you have to go out of your way, even though you're not planning to pick it up. Go once you see it, you can't pretend that you didn't see it. You have to go and pick it up and restore the item to its owner. But a non-Jew, you're not obligated. But what about if you actually picked it up? Maybe in such a case, even for a non-Jew, you have to return it. So Rabbi Noah says no. That even the Torah is saying matzasa. The Torah means matzasa means you found it, means you picked it up, you own it, you took it. And nevertheless, you don't have to return it to a non-Jew. So what are you telling me, that the Mishnah can't just say ani mitzasiya? If the Mishnah would just say ani mitzasiya and stop right there, I would think that what he's saying is that I saw it. No, you just said matzasi means I found it, means I picked it up, I acquired it. So why does he have to add it's all mine? So the Gemara answers in. Matzasa dekra dasal yadi mash. In the pasuk, the Torah is very precise. In the pasuk, matzasi mean, when it says in the pasuk matzasi, you found a lost item. It means you picked it up, you acquired. And nevertheless, the Torah says only achicha. You're only responsible to return it to your brother, your fellow Jew. To a non-Jew, you don't have to. The Torah speaks in the language of man, of the world. In the language of the world, matzasi could mean, I spotted it, I'm the first one that found it, I'm the first one that realized it, I'm the first one that saw it. Which doesn't mean anything. That's what he has to say, is spell it out, I found it, and it's mine, I picked it up, and I acquired it. When a person sees it, he says, I found it. That's the language of the world. He thinks that just by seeing it, it's his. That's why he says, that's why he spells it out. If he argues that, then he has no argument. If he just says matzase and he stops right there, which means in the language of the world, I'm the first one to see it. And I'm sorry, give it to your friend. It's his. If he picked it up first, doesn't matter that you saw it first. It's his. So you have to spell it out and say, no, kulashali, it's mine. I'm the only one who picked it up. I'm the first one to pick it up. Why doesn't you just say? Why don't you skip to the chase? Just say, kulashali, zeyma kulashali, which means, it could only mean one thing. There's no confusion. Kulashali means it's mine. I picked it up. It's mine. Why do you have to say I found it? But the answer is, I would think that that whenever a person says, if his argument would be, otherwise, if his argument would be, I found it, and which in the language of the world means I'm the first one to spot it, to see it, to be aware of it, and that will be enough. If he says, I found it first, and the other one agrees that you are the one who saw it first, then you would acquire it just by seeing it. He's coming to teach me. That's what he says, I found it. To teach me that finding, which in the language of the mission, in the language of the world, means I'm the first one to see it, to notice it, to find it. It was lost and I was aware of it and I see it. But that's not enough. I don't go to Shalit. The mission is say Rashmir. This excellent mission is coming to teach me the real Ikonna. That seeing it means nothing. Being aware of it, seeing it means nothing.
It doesn't make such a stretch. It's true. I got to teach you something, but why do you teach it to me in a place where I have to talk about it?
No, it could be, this argument could be, I bought it.
Or that well, that's what I'm saying. Teach me the rule that when each person says mitzvah,
no, because in this argument,
in a place where it's
no, because you can see people can make a mistake. People can come to Bez, and in his mind, he says, I found it first. So it's mine. This is a reasonable, see, we're assuming that they're not lying. The two of them are not lying. They're making a mistake. Maybe they both thought, this one thought I picked it up first. So one of the mistakes is, he says, I found it first. You agree, I'm the first one. I showed you, I told you about it. You didn't even notice it. We passed by, I noticed it. So it's mine. So it's a reasonable argument. So the mission is telling him, such an argument that he loses the argument. Well, you have nothing. If that's your argument, then give it all up.
I'm saying, it seems to say in a place that, anyways, we're talking about Mitzvah, teach me somehow, double up over there. That's all I'm talking about Mitzvah here. We're talking about.
We're talking about an argument that
a context.
Yeah,
true,
and it makes sense that you can have such an argument. We don't suspect. Otherwise, we don't suspect that a guy came in the middle of the street and grabbed your suit and said it's mine. You're wearing a Gucci, whatever. Oh, it's mine. You don't have to, we're not suspecting that they're a bunch of banditen. Otherwise, you wouldn't make him swear. It's like an honest. No, but if he's such a bad bandit, maybe he'll swear falsely also. We're going to see soon. But here, we're talking about maybe a reasonable argument. You're making a mistake. You think it's yours because, and you think it's yours. So this is like a reasonable scenario. That's why it makes sense. But it gives another answer. Amar Rapapa said, Vitei Mother said, Rav Shimon ben Ashi said, Amar said, Kedi. Other said, Kedi said it. That's the name of a. That's the name of an amora. Neisha b'metzia. It is indeed two separate cases, like we thought initially. Neisha is talking about b'metzia, and the sefer mekach memka. Okay, so two people bought something. This one says, "No, I bought it first." This one says, "No, I paid for it first. I bought." Why? The question is, why do I need two cases? The Gemara asked right in the beginning. That was the opening question. Why do we need two cases? We need these two cases. We continue on side B. If he just taught us the case of where they're arguing over who founded the Tava Minna, I would think, it's only in that case the rabbi said they both swear. Why? Because maybe he says to himself, you know, I'm not causing any loss to my friend. He knows that his friend is right. But he thinks to himself, he gives himself permission. Listen, I didn't cause any real loss to my friend. I'm just depriving him of a benefit. He found it. He didn't pay a penny for it. So I would rather have it. So he thinks to himself, it's nicht gefährlich. It's not so terrible. What am I doing already? I didn't steal anything from him. I'm depriving him of a benefit. So therefore, and but the moment you make him swear, then he'll back off. Oh, easily it was. I'll grab it. At least let's share it. Okay, I'm being nice. I'm not taking it off of myself. We'll share it. We'll come to the court. The court will say, you know, you take 50. I take 50. So therefore, the rabbi said, make him swear. He's in a back off. He's not going to swear falsely. He knows that he's in the wrong. Someone purchased something. Fine, he paid. So you're causing him a loss. So a person is not gonna think to himself it's okay. So therefore, he's an outright liar, a thief. So maybe in that case, why is he losing anything? I mean, if they both gave money, if you're gonna pay half. If you're going to give him half, and give him half, so you have to give him also 50% back of the purchase. Talking about a case, they both gave money to the storekeeper, and he sold it to one of them. And this one says, no, he sold it to me. This one says, he sold it to me. So he's not going to get doubly paid. He's going to return one of the payments. since each one gets half, each one will get back half of their money. You keep half of the item, you get half of the money. I mean, you're not losing anything, but you're losing in the sense that why is he buying it? It means he really needs it. I need this item. This, I've been looking for this suit for years. It'll come down. I need it. Now you're saying it's yours. So it's a loss. For he's an outright thief. He has no excuse. He can't even like pretend, oh, well, I'm not so bad. It's not so terrible. Maybe, you know, I can green light. I can give myself a green light to do this. I'm not really causing him any harm. You are. So therefore, if he's an outright thief, you take him something that belongs to someone else, you have no right, you can't even rationalize, find any rationalization of what you're doing, then you don't care. If you don't care, you're going to swear falsely also. So what's the point of making him swear?
If you're brazen, you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you'll do anything.
Brazen. So what's the point of making him swear? He's a liar, he's a con artist, he's a thief, he's a lowlife, he's a bum. So what's the point? So what should you do? Maybe in such a case, just put it aside till Eliyahu HaNavi comes and will tell us what really happened. And that's it. I can't give it to you. I can't make you swear because I won't trust your oath. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't clarify anything. So I have nothing, you know, just leave it. And none of you get it, and you know, until the Mashiach comes. So that's why he comes to tell me no. So that's why he says no, that even in a case of where they're arguing over a purchase, the rabbis didn't that. Because a person's, even if a person will steal, but he's afraid to swear falsely. So we still trust his oath. If he swears that this is mine and this is mine, I don't have less than half, we give it to both of them. Question is, what do you mean? One of them is lying. One of them is obviously lying. It's either his or his. How could it be both of theirs? Okay, let's see how the Gemara spells it out. If he just teach me the second case, the case of arguing over a purchase, who purchased it first, who it belongs to, I would say, only in that case do the rabbis say you swear. Why? The person says, I paid for it and he paid for it. We both gave money. I'm not stealing anything. I'm paying full price. I'm not stealing anything. All I'm saying is it's not you, it's mine. But I'm paying the seller full price. So therefore, he gives himself a green light to go ahead and to say it's mine. I need it. I need it, so let me take it. Let my friend go. Let him go shopping again, and let him go and find it. Instead of me running around to find it and giving it to him, you know, it's here, it's convenient, I'll say it's mine, I'm paying full price, it's mine, and let my friend run around. What?
Who was he
going to
pay?
He paid the owner. They both paid the owner. Yeah, they both gave him a full price to the owner. The seller. Each one says, I bought it first. You sold it to me. And this was, no, he sold it to me. So each one paid full price, and I'll take it, and let my friend go run around and do shopping to find what he needs. You can't say that. If you're taking it away from him, he's not finding another lost item. It's lucky. It's a lucky day. You ever won a lottery in your life? One in a million. He finally got lucky. He found it. You can't say, you know, I'll take it for myself, and then my friend will get lucky tomorrow. He'll find something else. No, he's not going to find anything else. So therefore, how could you allow yourself to say that it's yours? So you must be, you don't care. You're a thief. Same alloy, maybe in this case you can't swear. So therefore you have to give me both cases. In both cases the rabbi said that you swear. So your mother asked, wait a minute, in the case of a purchase, let's see, let's ask the shopkeeper who paid, who bought it. Right, who do you sell it to? He took money from both of them. One of them he took willingly. The other one threw money at him. He says, no, you're selling it to me. V'lo yadanen, he doesn't know miu midaite, umiyu bakorche. He doesn't remember which one he sold willingly, and which one he took it. He had no choice. He forced him to take his money. The storekeeper, it's not his business. You gave me, both gave me money. I have to remember which one I sold willingly and which one just threw money at me, and I forgot. It's not up to me to remember. I don't have to remember it. What do I care? You took the object. I sold it, and you were both fighting over it. And you know, if he only took money from one, he would remember. Oh, he paid me. The guy never paid me. I never saw this guy. He's not my customer. He's my customer. Here they were both his customers. Just one he sold, and the other one forced his way in. But they're both customers, so I don't remember which one was willing, which one not. If only one of them paid, even though he already sold the item, the seller would be believed. Hey, he's my customer. Him I know. This guy I don't know from Adam. He never paid me anything. He would be believed. But here, since they both paid, therefore he's not believed. That's that nullity. We don't know who. He can claim, he can scream from the rooftop. Yeah, I know. He's the one I willingly sold. The other one just forced me to take money and I didn't want to sell it to him. We don't believe him anymore. Why should I believe you? You don't have the item. They both paid you. So we don't know. We don't know which one is willing and which one is not. He says the version is, even if he says he does know, even if the owner, store owner, the seller says he does know, we don't pay attention. Doesn't matter. We don't believe him. We don't know. He's not believed because he doesn't have it anymore. If he still had the item, he'll say, yeah, I'm selling to you and not to him. But he already sold it. The mother says, Lema, let's say, Masnisan, like a banana, that our Mishnah that says that we divide it doesn't follow bananas. E bananas, Omar bananas says, Kate, they little Moldish Vusha, bananas says, how could you make them both swear? One of them is definitely swearing falsely. How could the court, knowingly, that one of them is going to swear falsely? Because each, what's their claim? This one says it's all mine, this one says it's all mine. It says either all yours, either all that. By dividing it, and making them swear that he just one swears I have at least half his mind. Says, well, half his mind. One of them is swearing falsely. How could we force it? How could we make an act such as that knowingly that one of them is going to swear falsely? I feel the tame. If you're going to swear, the Gemara says no. I feel the tame. Bananas. Really, he could also even bananas will agree with our mission. Because Hossam over there. Their argument over there is a case, a person who had workers. Instead of paying them directly, he says, you have credit by the grocery. That's how I'm paying you. You can buy and credit in the grocery, and I'll pay the grocery for your grocery bills. And then you have an argument. The grocery says, I gave them. I gave them. And now you owe me what I gave them. And the workers say, he never gave us. Then we never got anything from the grocery. We never bought anything from the grocery. So they're asking the owner, pay us. The guy refuses to give us. He says he already gave us. We never bought anything in the grocery. So give us our salary. So the rabbi said that they both swear. The grocery owner swears that he gave the money to the workers. The workers swear that they never got any money. And they both collect from the grocery can collect from him because I paid them already. You told me to pay, give them credit and now pay me. And I did exactly as you said, so pay me. And the workers said, we never got anything, so pay us our salary. So he has to pay them both. And they have to swear. Banana says, how could you make them swear? One of them is lying. One of them is lying. Either the grocery owner is lying or the workers are lying. And they can't be both right. So he said they both take from the owner without an oath. They both collect, but there's no oath here. You can't make them oath. So according to Bananas, how could the Mishnah say that each one of them swears that I have at least half? One of them is lying. It's either all yours. So Gemara answers, afilu teima bananas. Really, you can say our mission even follows the opinion of bananas. And the difference between here and there is awesome. Vadi yikashvur. There, surely one of them is lying. Hach over here, ikala meima, it's possible to say, the lekashvur. Maybe they're not lying. Maybe they're just mistaken. Eima, the tavaya. Maybe they're both right, actually. They're both mistaken. Each one thinks it's all mine. Each one thinks it's all mine. But in truth, it belongs to both of them. Eima, the tavaya. They picked it up together, but this one thinks, no, I lifted it up first. A second before, you know, when you play a game, this one thinks, oh, I won, I beat you by a half a second. The other one says, no, I beat you by half a second. And maybe they're both right, they were both equal, they both picked it up at the same time. So no one is lying. And it's just mistaken, he thinks. Okay, and the same thing is in the case of a purchase, the second case. Maybe the owner, the seller, agreed to sell it to both of them. You're arguing over it, you know what? I'm selling it to both of you. I'll give back the money, split up the money, half of the money, you know, because they both paid in full. I'll give you the money, split it up, and keep it both of you. I'm selling it to both of you. But this one thinks, no, he sold it to me. And this one says, no, he only sold it to me. And while in truth, he sold it to both of them. So no one is lying, not necessarily. They're just mistaken. Yimara says, Lema masnis in lekan sumchus. Well, let us say that our Mishnah does not follow sumchus. What's the argument of Sumchus and the rabbis? We already had this in Baba Kama. If you remember, we already learned this in Baba Kama. If an ox was not an habitual gores a cow. And then we find that not only is the cow dead, but the offspring of the cow is also dead right next to its mother. So the owner of the cow... The owner of the ox says that the...
Well, it was the going before she was carrying the fetus or after. They gave it to her. I think she
didn't know. Says that I only have to pay for the mother, because the offspring was already born dead.
It died before the goring.
Not born dead. It wasn't born dead. It died before the goring. It had nothing to do with it. And the owner of the cow says, no, you killed, your ox not only killed my cow, but also killed the offspring that was healthy and well, was alive. So you have to pay for both. So the Mishnah says, the rabbis say, they divide, they split it. You pay a quarter of the offspring. Not half, you're talking about not an habitual gore. You're talking about, so you only pay half, and then, in the first place, you only pay half of the damage. In this case, you pay half of that half, a quarter. Sumchus. Oh, so Gemara says. So Gemara said that's the opinion of Sumchus. That's the Sumchus's opinion that whenever there's in doubt, you divide it. You split it down the middle. The rabbis hold up, right? But the rabbis disagree. The rabbis say that Meitzim Mechaveri Ol Varaya, that the damagee has to bring proof. The damager doesn't pay anything. The owner of the ox doesn't have to pay anything for the offspring, for the baby cow. He says, prove it to me. You're not getting a dime. Bring proof. Where's the damage? How do I know I damaged? Maybe it was dead already before my ox even gored your cow, the mug. Okay. So Leibman Masnissen, like a Sumchus. Let's say our Mishnah that says you split it down the middle. It's not like Sumchus. Dika Sumchus. He says, and with a Shavua. The fact that Mishnah says you split it. But you split it with a Shavua, they both have to swear. Sumchus says you just split it. There's no Shavua involved. Right. Over there, you don't have to swear. He just says you take a quarter of the damage. Doesn't mention over there. And yeah. So if not Sumchus, then who? According to the rabbis say that you don't split it. But the Mishnah says you split it. The problem is not just the Shavua. The problem is how do you split it? The whole splitting is only according to Sumchus. When you're in doubt, you split it down the middle. But according to the rabbis, you don't split it down the middle. You say, I'm Meitzim Chavid Ola Varaya. The mother says, hi, Mike. What kind of question is this? Amri B'Shalim Rabbanon. Even if they're going to Rabbanon. Hosom over the Adelaide Tafsi Tavai. None of them are holding on to it. Not both of them are holding on to it. Only who's holding on to the ox, the gorer, the goring ox, the owner of the ox. So the damagee, you want me to pay? Prove it. You're not getting a penny out of my ox, because you pay based on the value of the ox, the goren. You're not getting a penny out of me. I have it. It's mine. And you're not extracting a penny out of my pocket unless you prove it. But here they're both coming to the court, they're both holding on to the garment. So they're both holding on, possessing it. The possession of both of them. So therefore, palgi lebeshvur, that's why the rabbis say you divide it and they have to swear. Eli amr, because if you're gonna say like sumchus, if in a case over there where not both of them are holding on to it. On the contrary, the owner of the ox is gored, he's the only one who's holding on to the ox. And nevertheless, sumchus says, You take a quarter out of his pocket, you take half out of his pocket, and without an oath, in this case, where they're both holding on to the garment, like Kol Shekein, that you split it down the middle and without an oath. So the Gemara answers, really, I'll tell you, our Mishnah follows even the opinion of Sumchus. Because Omar Sumchus is Shem Hashem. When does Sumchus say that you divide the Shem of Shem? In other words, none of them know what happened. They weren't there. They're not sure.
Nobody brought witnesses.
Yeah, no, but they themselves are not even sure. They weren't present. They don't know when the cow gave birth. Each one says maybe. He says maybe he gave birth before, and my ox didn't gore your cow. He was dead already before, and he says no. Maybe he gave birth after, and you killed both of them. Your ox gored both of them and killed the mother and the baby cow. Your buddy, in the case, each one says for certain. Like in the case of the Talis, Leoma. Here's the case, each one is arguing with certainty. This one says it's all mine, and this one says it's all mine. I found it. This one says, no, I found it, it's all mine. And the equivalent case over there, even Sumchus will agree. That yes, you divide it. Sumchus would say, in that case, you divide it, but then you need a shvur, you need an oath. Each one has to swear. Rabbi Huna says that Sumchus holds you divided without an oath, even in the case where each one claims with certainty. This one says, no, I know for certain that the offspring was alive, and then your ox came and gored both the mother and the baby cow. And the other one says, no, I know for certain that the baby cow was born before and died before my ox gored the mother cow. Michael and Mamus, what are you going to say? This is equivalent to our mission, a certainty and certainty. And nevertheless, Shmuel says, you split it down the middle and no one has to swear. The Gemara says, afilu tema sumchus. Even if you're going to say like Rabbi Rav Huna, you can say like sumchus, there's no question, there's no contradiction. Our mission could follow like sumchus. Chi ama sumchus. When the sumchus say that when in doubt you split it down the middle, it's only in the case of drada de mamein, in a case where there's a damage involved. That if you're mistaken in your ruling, there's damage involved. If you tell him that he has to pay, maybe he doesn't have to pay. Maybe the baby cow died before. My ox had nothing to do with his death. So why are you forcing me to pay a quarter of the value? I shouldn't pay a dime. I didn't do anything. So in a case where there's a loss, financial loss involved, then we say, hey, we don't know. We have to split it down the middle. Period. There's no need for a shvu. You just split it down the middle. But in the case where there's no loss involved, they found a lost object. No one lost anything here. Even if what really happened is it belongs to one of them and not to the other. And here we're going and we're taking half away from him. But there's no loss. You're just depriving him of a benefit, of a would-be benefit. But there's no loss. And in the case of purchase also, each one gets his money back. You're not losing anything. So therefore, in such a case, loy, sumchus doesn't say, and he agrees that you have to swear. In such a case, you have to swear. Tosfos says the drada the Ramayna means, that's how Rashi interprets. Tosfos means drada the Ramayna means, in a case where even the, without our claims, without any claim, the court themselves have a doubt what really happened. Like over there, it's an interesting question. We don't know what happened. Did it happen before? Was the baby born before? Did the baby die before? Nothing to do with the axe goring the mother, or the baby die because of the goring of the axe. So we also, even if no one comes to court, we have a question. In our case of the talis, unless they argue, what's the question? If you're wearing a suit, there's no question. Two people are holding on something together. So your partners, it belongs to both of you. We have no question. You're creating a question. So in a case where you're creating a question, we can't just take it away and divide it without an oath. But with there, because they have a question, they both have a connection to the money. Maybe it's yours, maybe it's yours. And therefore, you just split it, and that's it. There's no room for oath. They're not here. It's the same answer. Others say that what Dirada means, that they both have a connection to the money involved. In the case of the axe and the cow, and the baby cow, he has a baby cow. He owns the axe. So each one has a connection to the money. You want to take money out of the owner of the axe, or from the axe? What do you mean? It's mine. But I had a living baby cow, and now he's dead. So each one has a connection. Here there's no connection. I don't even know if you have any connection. Maybe you have a zero connection. Without your argument, you have no connection to this garment. Well, what's the connection? If he picked it up first, if he bought it, just because you're holding on to it. So there's no inherent connection there. There's no like obvious connection to the money. Only your arguments are creating a connection. So in this case, if your arguments are creating a connection, I can't take it away from the other person unless you swear. But isn't it like a priori, a logically compelling argument? There's a loss. And nevertheless, you split it without an oath. In other words, one person is definitely going to lose. There's no question. One person is definitely going to lose half. Or there's an inherent doubt. Or each one has a real connection to this money, to the child, or to the baby cow, and this one to the ox. And nevertheless, you say you split it in half without an oath. In addition, in that case, you can say either it's all his, it all belongs to the damager, because he doesn't have to pay anything, because the baby cow died before his ox gored the mother cow, or maybe the baby it was killed by the goring ox, and therefore he should pay everything. And nevertheless, we continue on 3a. You split it, divided it without an oath. Hach over here, the lekker of the mamain. Here, where there's no definite loss, we're not certain we're causing a loss. Because it was just a found object. No one lost anything here. And there is no question here. Without them bringing up a question, we don't have any question. There's no question here. And maybe none of them have any connection to this garment. Six nations count. And in addition, it's possible that they're both right. It belongs to both of them. Like kosher game, that they just split it down the middle. Why oath? What's the point of an oath? Why the oath? If there you don't have an oath, surely over here. The Gemara answers, "Afilu teima kesumchus." Even if you're going to say that our Mishnah holds like sumchus, it's not a contradiction. Why? Because shavua zuma derabbanan. Really, you're right. Really, according to sumchus, you should split it down the middle, and there's no reason to have an oath. If over there there's no oath, where there's drada de mamayna, here there is no drada de mamayna, surely there's no oath. So why then did they make an oath? Shvuzu is midrabbanan. It's an enactment of the rabbis. Rabbi Yechna. Rabbi Yechna says. Rabbi Yechna. Exactly. Now shvuzu is because chamrin shliyach kol echad veechad hilah v'teke v'tlitzel chaveru shliyu. Because otherwise everyone could just grab. Oh, you have a beautiful, beautiful suit. A beautiful. I'm just going to come and grab it. I'm just going to come and grab it, and there's no consequences. You know what? I'm going to get half. At least I'll get half. It's so easy. So I have an eye on it. I'll just come and grab it, and I'm both holding on to it. So if, I assume it's yours. No one holds receipts for suit. I bought it. And even if you bought it, maybe you sold it. It doesn't prove anything. Receipts won't even prove anything. So everyone will just come and grab whatever I want. So now you have to swear. Not so fast.
That's how you do it in New York.
We continue. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. It should be a good beginning. Exactly.